This evening, we are blessed with the presence of seminarian Pradeep Hatcher. Pradeep is a member of St. Gregorio's Orthodox Mission Church in Spokane, Washington, and is presently studying at St. Vladimir's Orthodox Theological Seminary. At this time, we invite Pradeep to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Barakumur, grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine word, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. Respected Achins, deacons, and my sisters and brothers, continuing with the theme of divine intervention that is reflected in this portion of the liturgical year, I wanted to continue discussing divine intervention with regard to the presence of suffering in our lives tonight. So to start out with, I am starting in the book of Job, chapter 1, J-O-B, chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. And the Lord said to Satan, Have you noticed my servant Job, and that there is no one on earth like him, blameless and upright, fearing God and avoiding evil? But Satan answered the Lord and said, Is it for nothing that Job is God-fearing? Have you not surrounded him and his family and all that he has with your protection? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his livestock are spread over the land. But now put forth your hand and touch anything that he has, and surely he will blaspheme you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand upon his person. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And again, I'm at Job chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. And this passage, and of course this book as a whole, highlights a very difficult for us to come to terms with, which is the suffering of good people in the world. Like, bad things happen to good people. May God allow suffering in our lives and the lives of our loved ones. And so first we have to remember that evil itself does not come from God. And verse 12, if we look at it again, reflects this. And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand upon his person. And so we see that it is not God who is the source of evil. And we know that Job, though he is, as Scripture describes him, blameless and upright, he is to encounter incredible hardships and suffering. But it's not God who is the source of evil. Rather, we are in a broken world, and God can allow evil to happen for a time and up to a point. Again, that verse 12 demonstrates that it's at the power and the behest of Satan that these hardships will come. But God, again, allows it for a time and for a purpose, up to a point. And so evil is a part of our reality because of the brokenness of creation, which we as human beings have introduced into the world through our action and our choice to sin. And no matter who we are, and we have to remember that though it's easy to fall into this tendency, we have to remember that bad things that happen to us in our lives are not a reflection of our deservedness of that happening to us. We can't say that some person deserved a period of suffering or hardship that came upon them. Just as Job is described as someone who is blameless and upright, yet goes through this incredible loss. But this brokenness and the suffering and death is a part of reality and extends to everybody. And a helpful insight on this is from one of our great church fathers, St. Athanasius, who addresses the question, well, why is it that even a pure, innocent baby can suffer and die if it is sin, which leads to suffering and death? And St. Athanasius says, we're created so intrinsically linked with one another that by one person's death, we all die, and by the suffering of one person, it affects all of creation. We all suffer with that person because we are created to live in love and in harmony with God and with ourselves. So that one thing affects all of us from the time of Adam and Eve through to our present time. We are all affected by this brokenness in creation. So we exist in a world which is broken and unfair. So again, bad things can happen to good people. And again, as we see in this passage in verse 12, there are times when God can allow this evil to happen. And we have to remember and acknowledge that though we don't see when these things happen, we can't say that God is not preventing incredible evil beyond our comprehension from happening, which assuredly he is doing. But again, we only experience the things that are in front of our eyes and see these things which we experience that he does allow. And these are for a purpose, as it is for Job, to put him to the test. But God does not, again, delight in our suffering. For Christ shows us in the gospel that our God is one who weeps with us and for us, as he does, for example, at the death of his friend Lazarus. But we find ourselves in this broken world struggling to come back to God and to become one with him. To do that, we have to become holy, loving creatures, just as he is, what it is to be holiness and is what it is to be love. But there are certain obstacles in the way of our becoming Christ-like. And so we have to be challenged and to grow constantly. But we see again in verse 12 that God is not the source of evil, but at times he can allow it to happen to us, but also only up to a point, as he says in the second half of verse 12, only do not lay a hand upon his person. And so we know that though we can't see God intervening, we know that he always is present with us, even during the most intense of our sufferings. And we have to understand this, this saying, do not lay a hand upon his person, not, of course, as in we won't experience physical pain, but in the sense that we find it, for example, in St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 10, do not be afraid. So no matter what confronts us in our lives, we have to remember always that nothing can destroy the love and peace of Jesus Christ. That even in death, there is hope of new life. So no matter what someone may say about you, no matter what may become of your reputation, or what someone may inflict on you as far as violence, or even up to the point of death, that we shouldn't fear, because God is above all of these things. And again, just because we don't see God working or understand how he's working in times of suffering doesn't mean that he's not. As Scripture tells us, his ways are beyond our ways. He's beyond our understanding. And when God doesn't fix a situation immediately or in the way that we see fit, we have to understand what we are often told but often forget, that it is for a purpose, that God knows what we need more than we do. He knows the right time and the right way in which to answer our prayers. And so, as we see that God can allow evil to happen, but it doesn't come from him, in other ways we can see trials in life that are sent by God to challenge us and to help us grow. And that's reflected in passages like St. James chapter 1, in verse 2, the Epistle of St. James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So as we are struggling to become holy and loving like God, these things can be put before us by God. Because without challenge in our broken existence and in our brokenness as people, we have to be challenged so that we can transform. And so in patience, we have to, as St. James says, and what the First Epistle of Peter says as well, and elsewhere in Scripture, to be patient and understand that God's purpose is working through even these tough times. There was something that a Coptic Orthodox priest said that has really stuck strongly with me ever since. He said, remember that when you're in a difficult situation, God can intervene and fix. He can fix the problem instantly with the snap of his fingers. But remember that he's also concerned with fixing you. And so that may mean waiting. He's answering your prayers, but in his time and in the way that he knows, that we may not comprehend or understand. And when evil situations happen, it is not because you are deserving, as Job, you're not deserving of these hardships. But it's the reality of this life, and if God allows it to happen, there is a purpose, and he has a way of getting you through it if you open yourself up to it. And through even the worst situations, remain hopeful. And if you do so and look for the good that can result, no matter what or how difficult the situation is, then you can open yourself up to seeing how God can work, even in these darkest of moments in your life. And by doing so, you can allow him to intervene further. Glory be to God forever, and let us pray. Baruch Mor, unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessing for his living words to us, unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.